1 Corinthians chapter 9. In this chapter, we've been going through this, and Paul is talking about the issue of support. Supporting the ministry, supporting the pastor. But with that, he is also making it very clear. He wants to be very clear on his desire in the ministry. And that's that men and women might come to a saving knowledge of Christ. His desire is not the money. It's just not the money. Support is a necessity. It's a necessity over here on the side, and that's what we've talked about. Without that support, then the man can't be focused on the ministry. So it is a necessity. But if that's not there, Paul said, I'll do what I have to do. And he wants men and women to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And I'll tell you this, I do too. I do too. That's what I want. I want men and women to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I desire, if the Lord is willing, we say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But I desire, if the Lord is willing, that he would plant a seed today. That's my heart's desire. Today. Today is the day of salvation. If it's his will, if it would be his kindness and his mercy and his purpose, I pray the Lord would open blind eyes today. I mean today. Wouldn't that be wonderful if it happened today? Today was the day. When God takes my flesh out of the way, usually my flesh gets in the way. Everybody knows what I mean by that. Our flesh, I don't care what it is, our flesh can ruin it by getting in the way. But when God takes my flesh out of the way, and when he gets me to the heart of his calling, what he's called me to do, I don't need a big church. I don't. I really don't. I am so thankful for what he's given us here. I don't need a big church. I do not need men and women to listen to me and respect me and hang on my every word. I don't need that. I just don't need that. I want the Lord God in mercy to save souls. That's what I want. I want God to save. I want God to save as many as he would. As many as he would. With me or without me. I mean, really, with me or without me. I want God to save souls. I want men and women to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want them to see him as he is. That's my heart's desire. I want them to see Christ as he is. If it strikes fear, fear it is. If they hit the dirt and bow, that's what I want. I want them to bow the knee to him. I want them to fall in love with him. I really do. Nothing would thrill me more than for this place to be absolutely packed with people that love Jesus Christ. People who are in love with Jesus Christ. I think I'm in love with him. And I want men and women to follow him. That's what I want. I want men and women to get into this word and see what he says. And say, that's what I think I want to do. I want to follow him. And I know from this word right here that salvation is of the Lord. I know that. And I know that not one of his elect will be lost. There's not one soul in Kingsport that will be lost. I know that. But our God has given all of us a commission. He's given us a ministry. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he said. This right here is the means that God has chosen to bestow mercy on sinners. This is how he's chosen to bestow that mercy on sinners. If God is going to save sinners, he is going to use this right here, the preaching of his word. Verse 19 in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." Paul said, I want to gain more. More what? Brothers and sisters. I love how he said down in verse 26, "I therefore so run." That's what Paul said. I'm running with the gospel. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." We're not here to just jog around religion. You know that? We're not here. Let me tell you what we're not doing this morning. You know what we're not doing? Buying time. What did y'all do today? We killed time waiting on the Lord to return. Paul said, I'm not doing that. He said, I'm running. I'm not just jogging around religion. I'm running. Where are you running, Paul? He said, I'm running to you and then Christ. I'm running to you and then Christ. He said, I'm fighting. Verse 26, he said, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not practicing to fight. He said, I'm fighting. And I thought about the fact that I could take 10 minutes right now and prove to us that Paul is not saying all this for his own glory. And Paul is not saying on this, believing that salvation is in his hands. I got to save you. But we don't have time for that. We're running. We're running. We all know that Paul is committed to the charge God has given him, and he's a wonderful example to us. He is a wonderful example to us. Now, he gives us right here some precious instruction for witnessing, as people say, to those who do not yet know the Lord, whether they're religious or not religious. Verse 20, he said, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak." I'll tell you, the first thing we see here is this. God can save anybody. That's the first thing we see there. God can save anybody. Let me tell you what I think sometimes in my flesh. Knowing what I know in the scripture, this is what my flesh says. Well, God won't save him. That guy's too religious. He's too far gone in religion. Has no heart to turn from his religion. Completely consumed with his false religion. God won't save him. And then sometimes I look at this one over here and I say, God's not going to save him. He's too sinful. That guy is just, I've seen bad. He takes it to a whole new level. God's not going to save him. Just too sinful. God can save anybody. Anybody. I would adore personally seeing the Lord saving the most religious person I've ever seen in my life. Just because I know he can do it. He can save anybody. When it comes to saving the most sinful person I've ever seen in my life, I've already seen that. If he saved me, he can save anybody. Really, he can save anybody. I love what Brother Scott Richardson said one time. He said, the preaching of the gospel is a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. That's what preaching the gospel is. It's a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Anybody. If he is willing, he's able. If he's willing, he's able. And I tell you this, because we're still here and the earth has not been folded up yet, I know this for a fact. God is not out of business. Because the earth is still turning, he's going to save more. He's going to save more. So Paul said, I preach it to everybody. Now I want to get to the heart of what he's saying here. In verse 20, he said, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. The Jews do not believe that the Messiah has come. If you run into a person today who is a Jew, and he practices the religion of the Jews, that person does not believe that the Messiah has come. They're still waiting on him to come the first time. They don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. And I'll tell you this, the Apostle Paul never pretended to believe that. Never. He never pretended to believe that Jesus was not the Christ, that the Messiah had not come. Verse 20 goes on to say, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Those who are under the law believe, this is what they believe, in order to be saved, you have to keep the ordinances of the law, these ordinances that God has given us. And our Lord has given us some precious ordinances. He's commanded us to keep some precious ordinances. But the reason he gave them to us was one reason only. It was to show us the finished work of Christ. Every single ordinance. The Lord said, Moses, you go get all my people and you bring them out of Egypt. And as soon as they did, he said, now I want everybody to kill a lamb. There's nothing wrong with that ordinance. It showed us Christ crucified. Every now and then we'll have the Lord's table. We have what the Lord told us to have, unleavened bread and wine. There's nothing wrong with that ordinance. It's precious. It shows us Christ and Him crucified. Baptism was given for one reason only. I died in Him and I've risen with Him. It shows us Christ and Him crucified. Every single ordinance. But some have missed Christ. And they're clinging to the ordinance for salvation. They're looking to, trusting in, hoping in, following after the ordinance. In their heart, you ask them, what's salvation? I went under the water. What does our heart say? What is salvation? And they're holding to this ordinance instead of the one it represents. And I'll tell you this. The Apostle Paul never pretended to believe that. He never pretended to believe that an ordinance was salvation and not the blood of Christ alone. He preached it, he preached it. It's the blood of Christ alone. What can wash away my sins? Well, Kingsport tap water. Nope. Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Verse 21, he said, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. Those that are without law ignore the commandments of God Almighty. That's what they do. You know, God, in the Old Testament, he gave all those commandments to his people, Israel, and those that are without law are these Gentiles, the heathens, and they didn't follow after all the commandments God gave. That was nothing to them. Nothing. They ignore his commandments and they think that they're all irrelevant. And that's a lot of people today. That's a lot of people to this day. It does not matter what God has said. I know that's what the Bible says, but it doesn't matter. And I tell you this, Paul never pretended to believe that. Never, never. Verse 22 says, "To the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak." Now that word weak does not mean a weak brother in the faith. I always thought it did. That's what I thought it meant, a weak brother in the faith, somebody who struggles over certain liberties. Paul would have already gained him. He's in the faith. He might have a mustard seed, but he's in the faith. Paul would have already gained him. That word, you know, we have this concordance, a Bible dictionary. It gives us the Hebrew and the Greek definitions of all these words. That word is number 772. All right, that's the definition of that word. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 8. And look at verse 11. "And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died." That one is number 770. 772, 770. I just tell you that to say they're different words. They're different words. This one right here means feeble in any sense. In this case, he's weak in the faith. He's weak, and he's saying, "Are you going to offend him?" And we should not do that. We should not do that. We ought to remember those who are new to the gospel, those who have come out of religion, we ought to not be an offense to them. Especially someone who has not received faith at all. I don't want to be a hindrance in any way, shape, or form. I want to point them to Christ. But that's a different word. The one in our text means this. It means without strength, literally. Sick. That's what it means. Deathbed sick. That one, I believe, Paul became because it was true. It was the truth. Now, Paul was not saying, "I was this way with one, and then another one over here came, so I changed, and I became this way, and then I found somebody else, so I changed, and then I changed." That would make Paul a hypocrite. That would make him a hypocrite. A hypocrite means, the word means actor. On a stage, in a movie, a hypocrite is a person pretending to be something they are not. Now, what would you think of me if we were walking down the street together and we came up on a bunch of foul-mouthed thugs? And I walked right up to them and I just started cussing like a sailor. Every word I've ever heard in my life. And they loved it. "All right, we'll see y'all later," you know. We walk on down the street. And then we walk past a church and here comes the preacher and here comes the fine church-going people. And I say, "How y'all doing today, brethren? Dear sister, oh, I hope y'all have a blessed day." What would you think of me? I'd be a hypocrite. I would be a hypocrite. I fit in better with the thugs, I tell you that. But I would be a hypocrite. Paul was not a hypocrite. Turn with me over to Job 27. Job 27, verse 8. "For what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained," Paul said, "I'm trying to gain. I'm doing this so I can gain more," right? And it says, "What is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul?" Didn't Paul just say a few verses before that, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel"? I mean, woe is unto me. What is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God takes away his soul? Look over at Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, look at verse 9. It says, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered." Through knowledge shall the just be delivered. What that means is this: God only uses the truth of the gospel to open blind eyes and set men free. That's all he uses, is the truth of the gospel. Paul is not saying, "I've tried to skirt around the truth. I've tried to hide it a little bit. I've tried to sneak it in there without people really seeing it." This is the best way I know to describe what he's saying. Go with me back over to the text. 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 20, he said, "To the Jews, I became as a Jew. I put myself in their shoes. I thought about them. I thought about what they believe. I thought about how they think. I thought about their life. And I met them with the gospel where they were." And we're going to see next week that Paul always did it in love and compassion. "But I met them with the gospel where they were. If I was preaching to a beggar, I preached as a beggar to a beggar, telling him where I found food. If I was preaching to a dying man, I preached as a dying man to dying men, showing them life himself." That's what they need. That's the only thing they need. "I met them with the gospel where they were. To the Jews, I preached Christ the Messiah, God manifest in the flesh." Didn't he do that on Mars Hill? Didn't he do that everywhere? "To them that were under the law, I preached Christ, the fulfillment of the law. To them that were without law, I preached the holiness and judgment of God against sin, seeing that in the sacrifice of Christ. And to them that were literally sick, I mean deathbed sick with sin, I preached Christ, the great physician." The gospel meets every sinner where they are, every single one. The end of verse 22, he said, "I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now let me tell you what he means right there. He means exactly what he said. He means exactly what he said. There are some that believe that they have the ability to save people. They believe they're soul winners. And they don't give Christ all the glory in salvation. And they're in error. They're just wrong. It's just wrong. No sinner can save another sinner. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ alone. But then on the other extreme, you have another extreme. There are some who believe that election is salvation. And God chose a person. And if God chose that person, that's it. That's just it. That's where we stop. That's where we close the book. They don't have to hear the gospel preached, in spite of the fact that that's what the book says. They don't have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, in spite of the fact that that's what God's word says. They deny God's means. That's what they're doing, denying God's means. And that's error. It's just wrong. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. In just a minute, we're going to have a message on faith and we're going to see what all that means. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How shall they believe in whom they've never heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1. And I'll wrap this up. 1 Corinthians 1, look at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What did Paul mean right there? Exactly what he said. I mean exactly what he said. Here's what Paul was saying. If I don't preach the gospel to sinners, they won't be saved. God's called me and called us. He said, you go preach this gospel unto all the world. And Paul is saying, if I don't preach the gospel to sinners, they won't be saved. We could try to skirt around that. You know that save some. As soon as a believer sees that, he's like, oh, wait a minute, let's back up from that. We could try to skirt around that. We could try to make excuses for it. But that's what the Lord wrote. That's what the Lord meant. And that's the truth. There is nothing more important in life than the preaching of the gospel. Nothing more important in life. I'm going to tell you this. I was talking with Brother Henry years ago in Ashland. We were visiting. And he told me, and just in the course of conversation, he brought up the fact that he had the opportunity to preach to his 40th high school class reunion. He didn't go to 10, 20, or 30. And they called him and notified him, we're having a 40th reunion. Can you come? Over the weekend, he said, no, I can't leave the pulpit. And they said, well, would you preach to us? He said, I'll be there. So he showed up and he preached. And he said, I had the opportunity to preach to my whole class. I thought, wow. And I thought about that for a minute. And I thought about that. And I said, what do you say when you go into a place that you believe in your heart, I don't know if anybody here knows the true and living God. I have no idea if there's... What do you say? What do you say? It always helps me so much thinking, I know at least one person believes this truth. I'm preaching to this one person. What do you say when you go into a place and hear all these people that odds are they've never heard the truth? And he looked, I'll never forget the look on his face. He looked at me like, that's the dumbest question I've ever heard in my life. And I think it was. I think that could have been the dumbest question I've ever asked in my life. He said, you preach the gospel. I said, oh yeah, sorry. But then I asked him, I said, what was your text? What did you preach? He said, John 19, verse 30, it is finished. You just preach the gospel. You don't compromise. You don't go in and in season, out of season, Jew, Gentile, bond, free. By God's grace, we're going to preach one thing. We're going to preach one thing. We're going to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the gospel. All right, you're dismissed.